Glory to God. I'll tell you, I'm grateful for people that love the Lord, but I'm grateful for people that love each other. Amen. I'm glad that y'all talk to each other and want to just be in church together with one another. It's such a blessing, and so grateful to be in the house of the Lord. We're gonna go now into our worship, and if you don't mind, just stand with us as we go and worship the Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord.
Thank you. Jesus blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
He cleansed me.
I will shine in glorious light. When he calls me home, I'll fall at his throne and forever worship Christ. Then forever worship Christ. I'll forever worship Christ. Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace I am saved. I'm his child forever, I am. Hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace I've been saved. I'm his child forever, I am. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's pretty weak for somebody that's glad to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Are you glad to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I don't preach for a response. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just kidding. Amen. Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 13. Be starting in verse 1. John chapter 13, starting in verse 1. So glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Really no place I would rather be than here with you. I believe it's the will of God for us to be here, to be gathered. And that should make you happy that your pastor wants to be here. Amen. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for this church, this body of believers. And I've come this morning to minister a message to us, hopefully as a public service announcement, maybe would be the best way to say it. It's imperative for us to know what's coming. Amen. God found it, or God saw it fit. Are these lights needing to be on? Do y'all need these lights on over here? I feel like a flight attendant. Your exits are here, here, and here. Pull the mask down on yourself before you help your neighbor. Amen. Praise God. That might help some of you read with me. Amen. Amen. I don't want to make it too comfortable in here. But it's imperative to know that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is constantly working by His grace to prepare us for what is to come. Amen. Jesus tirelessly taught His disciples and told them, you know, Jesus didn't just tell them at the Last Supper that he was going to be crucified on a cross. That's not the first time that he had mentioned that to them. He had said it countless times to his disciples because he was preparing them and letting them know, this is my will, this is my Father's will, and it must come to pass in order for what is to come. The promises that I've given you can only come to pass through my crucifixion. And so I don't think that Jesus changes his mind about the way that he teaches his children, the way that he ministers to his disciples. And so as the church of the living God, who is living, who studies the living word, even though the scripture was written over 2,000 years ago, how many of you know that it's just as relevant for the times that we're living in today? It's a timeless word. It means it doesn't matter how much the culture changes. It doesn't matter which culture it's talking to. it is making it very plain to us. It's very relevant to us. And so I want to minister to us this morning on this thought, washing your Judas's feet. Amen? Washing your Judas's feet. Now, I'm not saying there's a Judas here at all. But what I'm saying is there is a Judas in all of us. Amen? Every one of us have the ability or the opportunity to backbite, to be offended, to have bitterness, to have sin, to have struggles against Jesus. Amen? We've all been there. We've all questioned if God's will is His will at times in our life. We've questioned, is this Bible true? Is God really want me to move in this direction? That's a form of opposition against God because it's a lack of faith. You see what I'm saying? And so there are moments that our faith is challenged. And I want us to really be aware of what I'm talking about this morning, because in the last days that the word speaks about, the word that was written over 2,000 years ago, talking about the coming of the last days, the last days started when Jesus was resurrected and went back to the throne room. That's when the last days began. So we have been in the last days. We have been in the welcoming committee, the church, the body of Christ, for those that are lost coming into the kingdom. And when Jesus sees fit, He's going to come back on the clouds, and He's going to rapture His church away. And how many of you know this? Amen. I feel like this is a common understanding in the church of Jesus Christ, that we are awaiting the day that Jesus raptures His church away. Amen? I'm not preaching for your amens, but I want to make sure that you're understanding what I'm saying, that you agree with me on those things. Now, if we as common people know this, how much more does our adversary know this? How much more does the adversary know that his time is short? If Jesus has given us a witness by His Holy Spirit right now in 2024, that we're going, I don't see how Jesus could not return anytime soon. Everything is turning inward to what Scripture has described and commanded and prophesied about. And we have that inner witness in us right now. How much more does our adversary know this? And how much harder is our adversary going to be fighting against, maybe not individually us at times, but the body of Christ as a whole? He knows that the only thing that is holding back the power and the physical Antichrist is the spirit and the embodiment of the church of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that? The Antichrist is not able to come onto the scene physically because he is being held off by the living, breathing church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus. We are the presence of God in this lost and dark world. And so what do you think Satan wants to do? He wants to weaken that body. He wants to come in and attack it. He has plans of war and manipulation and deception, all playing on our humanity, all playing on our carnality. And he's wanting to use us to divide us. Amen? You look at the garden. It says it so clearly, his plan for humanity when it comes to divisiveness. He goes to the weaker vessel, Eve, and he says, did God really say that you would die? Now, when I say weaker vessel, I'm not saying that men are greater than women in some ways. But the way that God set it up is he set man head over the household and woman. And so he went to the weaker vessel and questioned what her husband said, because it was the job of Adam to tell Eve what God said. You guys know that in Scripture? That God never told Eve himself. God told Adam to minister to his family, to do the right thing. And so Satan came not to the person that heard it out of God's lips, but came to the weaker vessel, and he began to sow division amongst them. And he said, did God really say this? He got Eve alone, isolated. He said, did God really say this? And Eve just started to cry, well, I don't know if he really said that or not. I don't know if that really applies to what God said, but you're making some good points, Satan. And the divisiveness comes in. The vessel becomes weak. Now, all of us are capable of being weak vessels. Amen? all of us have the capability of Satan himself coming to us, or one of his angels coming to us and sowing division in our hearts and minds against what God has said to us, or what someone said has God has said towards us, and it begins to weaken our faith and understanding. And you see, Eve goes and takes of the tree, which they were forbidden to eat of, and what happens? She takes of it. She sees that it's good for food. And then where does she go? She goes to her husband. And she says, I've taken of this. I see that it's good. God has lied to you. And now she's not the only one that's fallen now. See, she's roped somebody in with her. And that's the nature of humanity. And so as the church of Jesus Christ, the need to be impregnable against the enemy is not just important as individuals, but it's important as the body. Amen? We must be as a body impregnable. Well, how can we be impregnable against the deceit of the enemy? We have to stand strong on the foundational truths of what his word says. And how many of you know the new covenant is teaching the body of Jesus how to walk according to God's will and plan? He's not worried about them being spirit-filled. He's not worrying about them gathering and having church. You read the letters. Most of the letters in the New Testament, the epistles from the apostles, is correction. And when I say correction, he's not coming in with a yardstick and hitting you in the back of your hand and saying you're doing it wrong. He's teaching them how to live in Christ Jesus as a body. So I want to take this little bit of scripture out of John chapter 13 and verse 1, and I want to teach us as Christians what God is saying in the new covenant to live together and to be aware the enemy is going to try to get in this way. So if you see some things in yourself where you're going, wait a second, pastor just preached on this, I'm witnessing some red flags in me that the scripture said to be aware of, I better kill that before it tries to get in and do something, because that's the goal of the enemy in our lives right now. That's the goal of the Antichrist spirit, in order to open the door and allow this world to be turned over fully to darkness without the presence of Jesus. Amen? So we are responsible for what we do with the word of God in this new covenant. Amen? It says in verse 1, now before the feast of all Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Hear that? You can be here this morning in the presence of Almighty God and Satan be sitting right next to you, whispering deceitful thoughts. Cora missed a chord on that piano. It sounded a little sour. Pastor Rafe never starts on time. Those thoughts come in. Amen? Brother Steve didn't turn that light on. Silly things, but things that begin to take your attention off of what you're here for. We're in the presence of God to receive from God, but all of a sudden now this wandering thought's here and I can't focus on God because Judas is sitting in the presence of God in the flesh. He's confessed that he is the Christ and he's sitting at dinner with him and Satan has entered into his heart. He's entered into his mind and already decided in him that I'm going to betray him. Now, it never starts in us the thought, I'm going to betray Jesus, or I'm going to betray the body of Jesus Christ, or I'm going to betray my friend or my family. You know, when I was a drug addict, it started out with something very little, just some tobacco use. And that led to alcohol use. And alcohol use led to marijuana. Marijuana led to pills and then to cocaine. And so when I first started, I thought, I'm never going to forsake my family. I'm never going to cuss my mama. Ain't nobody ever said that. It didn't start that way. But I'll tell you, that's where it finishes. Sin, when it is fully grown, when it's had its complete work in us, after it's settled into us, will have its complete work and it will be death. It'll take you farther than you ever thought you'd go.
place you never wanted to be. And so we see Satan has entered into Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Judas is considered in this. And to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And what Jesus was describing to Peter was, is Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. Jesus hadn't gone and laid his life down as a sacrificial lamb yet to pardon sin. So this is a type of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am cleansing you, Peter. I am showing you in this physical example that I'm doing that, just forgive me, I don't know how to talk this morning, but I'm showing you and presenting this to you, and you're going to understand when I go to the cross and die for your sins and I'm resurrected, this is all going to make perfect sense to you. All this is going to, so for us this morning, it does make perfect sense. Then Jesus is washing his feet, but he says, you don't know yet what I'm doing now, but you'll know after this. And Peter said to him, you should never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And how many of you know, can't be a Christian without Christ? Can't be born again without the blood. And so we understand now, to have a part in Jesus, we must be washed by Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus says to him. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, I didn't bring a basin of water, and I'm not going to line you up to wash your feet this morning. Amen? So someone say amen. Amen. I didn't get that pedicure that I needed before this service. Amen? I'm not going to do that. And there are some churches that do, and that's wonderful because that's a great example of humility. And this past week when we were ordained, Pastor Lee, in his ordination service, he gives every ordained minister a towel. And he says, you're only as great as the person's feet that you're unwilling to wash. That's what he said. Very humbling. Your greatness in God stops, basically, when you're unwilling to wash someone's feet. Some offense, some thing in your life, some little hiccup or hang up that you don't like about the way that someone does something, the way that someone lives their life, that's as far as you go with the Lord. Because his example was, Jesus said, I know there's one in here that's already even betrayed me. But I'm going to give you this example that I'm willing to lower myself even for that person and love that person and wash that person's feet, even if they're not willing to love me back. Even if they're not willing to change their ways, even if they don't line up with all the things that I think that they should line up, because they're not the issue. Our own hearts are the issue. Jesus says, I'm giving you the example of forgiveness, of love. Remember what the Pharisees said when Jesus healed that man? He said, go and sin no more. They said, who is this man that forgives someone their sins? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, what's easier, to forgive somebody their sins or say to get up and walk? And he raised that man out of his lamehood, right? You remember that? And Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm giving you the power and the authority to forgive people, forgive others. And so Jesus is, like I said, Jesus is constantly telling New Covenant, his disciples in the New Covenant, what he's meaning, what his promises mean, and how it's all going to come together when he's crucified and raised again from the grave. And so here he is again telling them. He's saying, I'm laying out this example in this physical way that you might take this with you spiritually. And you can apply it to your life. Because how many of you know that person that cuts you off in traffic and then throws the bird to you, you can't pull them over with a bottle of water and a towel and wash their feet and go, I forgive you, brother. How many of you know that? Especially when you see this bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you. You know what I'm saying? You know, anybody know those people? you can't just pull them over and do that, but spiritually you can. You can come to God and you can say, God, I'm bringing this offense to you. Because I'm going to tell you, when they did that, it fired me up. It cranked the engines of flesh up in me and it made me want to respond. It made me want to Judas somebody. Amen? It made me want to do that. But Jesus says, that's not the example that I'm giving you. I'm willing to wash even my own betrayer's feet. Because I want to express to you, this is my love. This is my Father's love for humanity. Don't you know that when Jesus went to the cross, they ripped his beard out of his face. They ripped ripped it out of his face. There was children, small children, spitting on Jesus as he went by, throwing stones at him. They despised Jesus all the while. They had no revelation or recognition of this yet. But as he went to that hill, that hill of the skull, as he went to Golgotha, he's walking and he is being just despised by these people. And all the while in his heart, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He's already proven, he's already given the example. I'm willing to wash Judas's feet, but listen, he was willing to wash my feet. Folks, I don't know about you, but there was a time I despised God in my shame. I despised God because I didn't want my deeds to be exposed in my sin. But even in that place of disposition where I despised God, God was there waiting with a jug of water and a towel. He had taken off his pride and his glory, and he humbled himself to be a servant. And he said, so I'm giving you this example. See, when Jesus came in, not one of his disciples went and got the water. Not one of his disciples went and got the towel. None of them had prepared a place for him. Jesus said, I want you to go get the supper ready for Passover. We're going to eat our last Passover together. No one had prepared those things. All of them were haughty in this moment. We're the disciples of God. Folks, we can sit here this morning and go, we're the church of Jesus Christ. Look at us. We're separated from the world. We live in it, but we're not of it. We live above it. We can have that mentality. And we can look down on people. Not just people outside of these doors. And we're going to get to that in the scripture. Not just people outside of these doors, but people within these doors. Well, they're just not the caliber of Christian that I am. They're just not. We can be critical of the way things go. And that could have the same dirty context on our heart as slandering somebody or backbiting somebody or cussing somebody, whatever you want to say. It has the same dirty effect on that. And I love what Jesus says to Peter. He says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. Why is that? Because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you forfeit the forgiveness that Jesus has given. You remember when Jesus said that? That's in red. Jesus says, no man can enter into the kingdom of heaven with unforgiveness in their heart. So we all must be vessels of humility. We all must swallow our pride and our comforts in the way that we think things should be, or the way that people should look, or the way that, because it has nothing to do with what we think. Their salvation is to be worked out with fear and trembling. Amen? Where does the fear come from? It's not the church coming down and going, you should live like this. The fear is the awe of the revelation of Christ coming in, that person intimately knows Jesus so that Jesus can change that person. When the time comes, Jesus can come in and begin to wash the filth off of them, begin to deal with the issues in their life. But the church has changed roles with Jesus. Jesus is still there on the floor washing people's feet, and we're the ones that are reclined going, yeah, they need their feet washed. Messages are being preached, and you're ducking so that the person that you think needs to hear it behind you gets hit in the head with it. But here's the reality. All of us need it. It's that recognition that we do need it. And so you see what Jesus says. He says to Simon, and Peter just goes, then not just my feet, but all of me. Because isn't that the result of just human nature, that we're so ashamed that there's one little speck on us that we just go, oh, then not just my feet, Jesus, but all of me. But Jesus says, you already believed that I'm the Son of God. You have this redemptive nature. When I die on the cross, it's for you. You have this faith in me, right? And so he's saying, it's not that you're asking for repentance for, oh, I just need to be born again. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, no, sometimes we just walk through some stuff. Amen? Isn't that so comforting to know that Jesus knows that sometimes we just walk through stuff? Some things that maybe we're just shameful, some things that we just don't have just the confidence and just be like, man, I'll tell you what, I just love doing that. No, you're ashamed of it. You feel condemnation sometimes. But Jesus recognizes that sometimes we just walk through things. It's not that you need to be born again, but you just need to take a seat at the table with Jesus and allow him to begin to cleanse you from the things that you've walked in. Amen? Anyone ever stepped on anyone's toes? Yeah? You've walked on somebody's toes before? Stepped on them? Stomped on them? Drove your car over them? Anybody? Your feet get dirty when you step on people's emotions and their feelings. Sometimes, anybody accidentally do that? I do it all the time. I pastor a church. Amen? I step on stuff all the time, and not intentionally. Culture does that. Age does that. Ignorance does that. Doesn't matter how pure your heart is, sometimes you're going to step on people's feelings, and you never meant to do it. But that doesn't mean that the mark's not there. Just because you didn't mean to do it. Right? But when someone steps on our feelings, when someone does that thing, instead of pointing out that mark that was left on their shoe from where they stepped on your feelings, you're pointing that out constantly. You're going over there like Eve does. Hey, you see that? That's where I was hurt. That's where I was touched. That's where I was this or that. Where I was that. And all of a sudden, you've become the weak vessel that begins to manipulate someone else's viewpoint. Well, I never saw that until you brought it up, but now I can't help but see it. Anybody ever have that? Someone come to you and go, hey, you ever notice that? And it's like, no, I never noticed that. But all of a sudden now you can't help but notice it. It's all you see. Amen? You know, it's like punch buggies. When you play that game, punch buggy. Anybody ever played that? You never notice it. And then someone punches you in the arm and calls punch buggy whatever color it is, and for whatever drive that you have left, that's all you're looking for, is a punch buggy. You see what I'm saying? And it's no different with our hearts, our feelings, our emotions. And Jesus is safeguarding us. He's saying, be careful that this is, because this is your nature. So you better be careful that when you do experience this, the first thing that you should do is not get up and bump the disciple next to you and go, hey, did you see this? You see how filthy those feet are? No, the first thing you should do is this thing that Jesus did. Because Jesus recognized in Judas that Judas was willing to betray him and already had in his heart. The first thing, Jesus didn't define it to the whole table. He didn't call Jesus out in that moment, or Judas out in that moment. The first thing that he did was he washed his feet. Isn't that crazy? Now, later on in the dinner, Judas didn't receive that forgiveness from God. Judas didn't accept that. And later, Jesus marked Judas, made it plain who he was. But you look at the other disciples, they're so concerned with themselves that they didn't even recognize. Folks, that's just human nature. I could get up here and preach the same message every Sunday with a new title, and some of you wouldn't know that I've not changed the message. Sometimes that's that way. Sometimes we're on autopilot. Sometimes we're not seeing it. Sometimes it takes us stepping on a thorn to realize I've got a sore in my foot. Sometimes it takes that. And you pray to God that when that sore does go in your foot, that there's someone with healing hands to grab a hold of it and help you. It's just the nature of us. And we have that in Jesus, but not just in Jesus alone, but the nature of his church. We have that in one another. When did we get away from when someone in the church fell into sin that they felt more comfortable running back to the world because they were too ashamed to come to an altar and just say, you know what? I've had a tough week this week. And I'm ashamed to get down in front of you people. So instead of me coming to the altar, they go out the door. And they just go back to their sinful ways. You know, religion and relationship is a big example of that. I try to use it all the time. Religion is like a father. And if the child gets in a car accident or something they mess up in some way, religion would be like, oh man, I hope my dad doesn't find out. But relationship is the opposite of that. When you get into some kind of trouble or an issue, the first thing that you do is, oh, I need to call my dad. I need to call my dad. When we have issue, people should be hungering to run to our church because the church has put aside their garments of arrogance and they've taken the position of humility and said, when you come in here, we're willing to wash that issue off of your life. Not because we're good, but because this is what Jesus did for us. And we're simply giving you what Jesus has given us. And in turn, they receive it not from us, but from Jesus, and they believe on him. And that's how our faith grows. It makes us comfortable coming to church. It makes us comfortable coming into an altar setting because we know when I get here, someone's not waiting with a belt to whip me because I've messed up. They're waiting with water and a towel to wash me clean, to help me out of that place. And it makes me go, man, I just want to go back. Every time this happened, because I've never felt so free. I've never felt so loved. And that's what Jesus is expressing. I want you to be the type and the example that I'm showing you. And Jesus goes on, and for the sake of time, it's 12:01. Holy cow. Have I been talking that long? I don't have much more to this thought, but I want you to think about this, okay? Because Jesus goes on, and the scripture goes on, and then it goes into communion. And it's still the type of Jesus that his body is broken and his blood is shed. Folks, it's not in us to heal people. We don't have the power to heal someone's feelings or emotions or their sin. We don't have that ability. But the power that Jesus has given us is the power to not let their sin, their shortcoming affect us and in turn make us not able to be in right relationship with God. Bitterness, unforgiveness, struggle. The blood is for us. The example of washing other people's feet is not for the person's feet that I'm washing, but it's for me. It's healing me. And folks, sometimes when I get down and I wash somebody's feet, I forgive somebody for what they don't even know that they've done to me. There is a real person in me that goes, I don't want to wash that person's feet. I want to feel angry and upset. What about me, God? What about my feelings? I want this person to get down and wash my feet. And folks, here's the reality. It may never happen. It may never happen. But what has to happen as the church of Jesus, we must put ourselves in the position of Jesus, right? We're not Jesus, but we must humble ourselves and love others and forgive others the way that he's forgiven us. And if we don't, then we forfeit the forgiveness that was given to us because we're unwilling to forgive others. And I have a few other scriptures. I'm just going to read them really quickly, okay? And I want to give example of this. Daniel 7:25 says this. It says that he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. This is out of Daniel. This is regarding the Antichrist. So we're not dealing with the Antichrist right now, but we're dealing with the Antichrist spirit. He wants to come in and he wants to deceive you about God's law. He wants to manipulate what you see in the Word of God. Well, I don't have to forgive that person. I'm justified. That's not what Jesus said. Doesn't matter if you're justified or not. Your heart's still dirty. Your feet still need to be washed by the cleansing flood of Jesus. We must bring it before the king. You see what I'm saying? And the Antichrist is moving on us. And it's at this time. And it's at hand. So we must take notes of the living word of God that this is the time. Galatians 5 verse 13 says this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Proverbs 6:16-19 says this, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says this, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, it's not jealous. Love does not boast or parade around itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. Folks, that scripture right there does not describe Rafe Lamb. It doesn't. But you know who it does describe? Jesus. In choosing to let Jesus live in my place, that nature will live in the place of Rafe's nature. I'll be able to love somebody that ran over my dog and cussed my kid. I'll be able to love somebody who's done terrible atrocities to me. I'll be there waiting with them to wash their feet because I've recognized not some goodness in myself, but the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me. Because whatever someone does to me is not even close to what I've done to him. My sin that he's forgiven is nothing close. And it's a joy to remember that about Jesus, to serve Jesus in that capacity. In John chapter 13, I believe it's around 35. Let's start in 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This is Jesus speaking. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples. And if you have love for one another. This is how the world will know that you're a Christian. If you love one another. Not sinners. That's not what he's saying here. That's not the context in which he's speaking in. He's talking to his disciples. Folks, we can be a church that loves the lost and sinners all day long and then come in here on Sunday and side-eye somebody the whole service because they did something to you 20 years ago or his dad made a bad deal with your dad and your family has just never got along. You know, there are real things like that. We love sinners. We love the lost. But we come in here and we've got some dissensions. Folks, the Antichrist spirit is in here trying to manipulate people. He doesn't have the power or the authority to do that unless we give it to him. And the only way we can give it to him is by holding on to what we think is right instead of letting that go and grabbing a hold of what Jesus says is right. And he goes, none of us are. He tells all of us, none of y'all are right. That's why I had to come and die. But in me, in my Father, I'm right. Just in him. Him plus nothing. It's just him. You want that nature from me? You're not going to get it from my flesh. I promise you. You cut me, I bleed. I'm just a man. But let Jesus live in me. And I'll be able to look at the person who's done the most vilest, cruelest thing to me and go, you know what? You deserve hate. You deserve bitterness. You deserve all these things that I want to feel in my heart. But Jesus revealed to me that I deserve those things too. And instead of giving me what I deserved, he gave me what I didn't. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. He gave me love. And now we have the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, to look on people and go, you know what? You probably deserve some bad things, but you know what? I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give you what Jesus gave me. Can we stand all over the congregation this morning? I want to take this opportunity to take communion and remember what Jesus has done for us because that is the most apt way to live and to love other people is to remember how Jesus has loved us. And so if I can have our ushers come to do this communion. I'd just like us all to pray, take communion, and then bless out. Amen. Y'all brothers can go ahead and start passing it out, and then we'll pray together and take communion together. What a friend we have in Jesus. I am overwhelmed day in and day out. Because like I said, I'm a person. I deal with flesh every day in my life. Anger, frustration, doubt, all those things. Some people come to me and they share things with me, and I'm like, what does this have to do with eternity? This just seems so light and so petty, and my heart is burdened. My heart is burdened because I see what's coming. I see Jesus returning. And I see people that don't know him. Folks, I've been in churches where churches split because the church decided to paint the walls a color that the other side of the church didn't like. And y'all have heard of silly stuff like that too, haven't you? The pastor that has ordained me, when they built their new building, their sound booth was 2.5 feet off center of the sanctuary, and they had a knockout drag out. I mean, families left the church because the sound booth was 2 feet off center. It's not above us to be petty in light of things that are eternal. It's not. None of us are. I'm not above it. And I recognize it in my heart all the time. I'll be thinking about something, and then all of a sudden the Lord will just click me back in. I'll be like, "Why? Who cares? That doesn't even matter. He's the only one that matters. This isn't going to stand up in light of eternity. When that judgment flame comes down, that's going to be licked up in fire. It don't matter one bit. The only things that stay are these eternal things. And folks, I'll tell you, forgiving one another, living in peace with one another is an eternal thing. Because I'll tell you, when the lost come in, when someone who's so shamed and guilty of their sin, and they said, all I can do is get to church. I don't know why. I don't know what message I need to hear. I don't know what it is. And they come into a church and they see people biting and devouring one another. They're going to go out those doors and go, why would I? They don't even love each other. They're not going to love me. But if they come in and they go, what is this place? This is like heaven. I'm filthy. And all these people have done since I've walked in is take out their water and their towels and wash my feet. They've made me feel clean. They've made me feel the way that Jesus makes me feel. And folks, that only happens when we do that with one another. We're gonna have a lot of things that change in the future. November's coming. Our country's going to change again for another 4 years. We don't know what that's going to look like. There's going to be irritabilities that go on, and we have to guard our hearts to not get bitter with one another, because we have to remember the eternal thing is greater than these earthly petty things. People are watching us to see if we really are who we say that we are. They will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. You may have a Judas in your life this morning, this afternoon now, because I preached too long. You may have a Judas. You may have a Judas in your life. It's okay. Wash their feet. Treat them the way that Jesus treated Judas. You know what happened to Judas? When Christ was crucified, he ran away and killed himself out of shame for what he had done to Christ. Folks, there is a shameful spirit on the world right now. You know what the number one cause of death right now is in this generation? Suicide. People need their feet washed. People need to be loved on the way that Jesus has loved on us. And I implore you to do that with us, church. I love you. I don't want to be anywhere else than Indiantown, Florida at Family Worship Center. I love you. And it's not because you're perfect. Amen. I pray you love us. You know we're not perfect. But I pray that we can love one another the way that Jesus has called us to. And when I'm wrong or I make mistakes or I step on feelings or whatever, I pray that you can just wash my feet. You don't have to come to me and go, I'm washing your feet today, brother. I just want you to know. Don't do that. That's not the heart Jesus had. But you can just get alone with Jesus and go, I'm bringing him to you. Because I know his heart may be pure. And I don't want to be affected. I want to love him the way that you do. Let's do that. Amen. Brother Dick, would you come lead us? I can bring a microphone to you. I really appreciate the ministry of Brother Dick on Wednesday nights. We take communion every Wednesday night. And it's just beautiful the way that he presents.